أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله كما هو أهل والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعجل فرجه وآل الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. دعاء سرکار امام زمانہ. Everybody loudly. إلهي عزم البلايا وبرح الخفا وانكشف الغطاء وانقطع الرجاء وزاقت الأرض ومنعت السماء وأنت المستعان وإليك المشتكى وعليك المعول في الشدة والرخاء. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أولي الأمر الذين فرضت علينا طاعتهم وعرفتنا بذلك منزلتهم ففرج عنا بحقهم فرجا عاجلا قريبا كلمح البصر او هو اقرب. Everybody loudly. يا محمد يا علي يا علي يا محمد يا محمد يا علي يا علي. اكفياني فإنكما كافيان وانصراني فإنكما ناصران. يا مولانا وآلِ محمد وعجل فرجهم. Please recite a louder salawat. محمد وآلِ محمد وعجل فرجهم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما تحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها صلاة على محمد وآل محمد محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجا. Dear brothers and sisters, every night we are talking about knowledge of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. That Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib had the same knowledge of Prophet, peace be upon him. He is the real follower of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And we have a lovely hadith from Prophet himself that Prophet is saying, أَعْلَمُكُمْ Ali. Prophet is saying to his companions that the most knowledgeable among you is who? Ali ibn Abi Talib. أَقْضَاكُمْ Ali ibn Abi Talib means the best judge among you is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And now here today I want to quote a very lovely judgment of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi alafu tahiyyatu wassalam. Look, how good judge was he. It's been narrated that once two women came to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib and they all were claiming, they both were claiming that one boy is my son. Means there were two women and one child, and that child was a boy. Two women were claiming that this child, this boy, is my son. So let's make it easier. Woman A and woman B. Woman A was saying, this child is mine. Woman B was saying, this is my child. Now, what do you think? What is the solution for it? They both came to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. They said, Ya Ali. Woman A said, Ya Ali, this is my child. Woman B said, no, Ya Ali, this is my child. Two mothers, one child. Imam Ali said, not a big deal. Imam said, Qambar. Qambar was one of Imam's companions. Imam said, oh Qambar, come on. Yes, my master. Qambar, bring sword and cut this child into two pieces. Give one piece to woman A and give the another piece to woman B. Oh, Ya Ali, what are you doing? Cutting a child into two pieces. Now when Imam Ali said, Qambar, now this is the lovely judgment of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. When Imam Ali said, oh Qambar, come and cut this child into two pieces. Now woman A said, Ya Ali, don't cut the child into two pieces. Give the child to woman B. I don't want the child. I'm not his mother. Do you know what did Imam Ali say? Imam Ali said, the child belongs to woman A. Why? Because the real mother never wants to harm her child. Woman B said, no problem, Ya Ali, cut the child into two pieces, just give me one piece. Imam Ali said, you are liar, you are not the real mother. Woman A is the real mother. That's why she said, Ya Ali, I don't want the child, but I want him to live long life. I don't want the child, give it to woman B. Imam Ali said, Qambar, give the child to woman A because she is the real mother. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This is the lovely judgment of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And now, about the knowledge of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Imam had the greatest knowledge. A man came to Imam and he asked a few questions. He said, Ya Ali, now I want the answers from you inshallah tomorrow. Okay? Ya Ali, there are two brothers. They were both born together and they both died together. But one of them was 100 years older than the second one. How could it be possible? Two brothers, they born together, they died together, but one of them was, for example, 50 years old, the other was 150 years old. What's the answer? I want from you, inshallah, tomorrow. The second question, Ya Ali, these are two brothers, there's another case of a son and a father. That the son is 100 years older than his father. Now this is a little bit confusing. How could it be? The son should be younger than his father because the son comes after his father. But Ya Ali, there is a son who is 100 years older than his father. Now what is the answer? Imam Ali told us the answer. Inshallah, I want the answer for my younger brothers. And this is again competition for brothers ages, brothers and sisters age 6 to 14. Is it good? Or should we increase it? 6 to 14 is good. Not above that, okay? Anybody who is 6 to 15, bring the answer. Tomorrow we have one gift for that. Now what did Imam Ali give the answer? Now two brothers born together, died together, but one of them is 100 years older than the other one. And there is a son who is 100 years older than his father. Who are they? The answer is inshallah for tomorrow. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa ajjal fardum. Can you please recite a louder salawat? Va'ajjal fardum. So now because Imam Ali is the real follower of Prophet, we should become real follower of whom? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Every night we're talking that Imam Ali is the real follower of Prophet. If you really follow Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, then you will become the most successful person of the world. If you want to really achieve the success in both lives, in this world and hereafter, you have to follow Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And yesterday we were talking, and every night we are talking, that Imam Ali is saying successful is the one, the two verses of Surah Al-Shamsa are saying successful is the one who was able to change his bad habits. But yesterday you heard two objections. One, I answered for that because we cannot change our outer face, we cannot change our bad habits, which is our inner face. You've heard the answer to yesterday. I don't want to repeat it. Inshallah, I will listen it in the summary competition. The second objection, they said, because I'm not able to change myself completely. I'm not able to change myself 100%. I might change myself for 5%, 10%, 20%. So what is the use of changing myself for 5% or 10% and waste my time? And this is what, you know, the youth come forward and ask. A sister was not doing hijab. When she was asked, why don't you do hijab? This was her answer. Because I don't pray, because I don't do other good deeds, or because I do many other bad deeds, so I'm also not doing hijab. Because I'm not good completely, I'm not doing hijab. This is what they, you know, the reasoning they bring sometimes. Now, I want to ask some questions. For example, you had the target of earning $1 million. It's a good target, yeah? But you cannot get $1 million in one day, can you? But you might be earning $5,000 or $10,000 each month, isn't it? Yeah, $5,000, $10,000 you can earn in 1 month. So will you say that because I'm not able to earn $1 million in one day or in 1 month, I'm not going to earn $10,000? Will you say this? Or if you had a purpose of buying 10 houses, but today you don't have enough money to buy 10 houses, will you say, I will go and sleep on the road until I get enough money to buy 10 houses altogether? Of course no. Or if you had the purpose of wearing good, stylish, branded clothes, but they are very expensive, a t-shirt you might end up buying for $200, so you don't have enough money, will you say that I will walk naked unless I buy good clothes, expensive clothes? No. You will say, I will buy ordinary t-shirt which costs me $5 or $10 just to hide my body. You will say, I will buy just one house, at least to live in a house. You will say, I will start earning $10,000. I will earn. A day will come when I will earn $1 million. I'll reach to my target. A day will come and I'll buy 10 houses. A day will come and I will be able to buy those lovely branded clothes. But today I'm not. It doesn't mean that I walk naked. It doesn't mean that I go and sleep on the road. It doesn't mean I don't earn $5,000 or $10,000. So the same thing in the habit. Yeah, in the first day, nobody's saying that. The first day, you are able to change yourself completely. No. In the beginning, it's very difficult. In the beginning, it's very hard. For example, you have the bad habit of looking towards Namahram, or you have the bad habit of backbiting, or you have the bad habit of getting angry, or you have any bad habit. The first day, you cannot change yourself. In the beginning, when you start changing yourself, when you try to develop good habit, that good habit in the beginning is like a spider's web for you. Easily broken. But when you continue controlling on yourself, when you continue
defeating your bad habit, when you continue leaving your bad habit, a day will come, your good habit will become as powerful as the chains of steel. Then it's not breakable. You can change yourself. Let me give you an easier example. When you go to the gym to make your muscles, or six packs on your body, do you make it in one day? Of course, no. You have to struggle so much, maybe for years, to make six packs on your body, your good muscles. The same thing in habits. You cannot change yourself just in one day. Although, inshallah, if I had time, I will tell you some lovely techniques by which you can change yourself in a very, very short period. But it takes time. But you are able to change yourself. Yes, in the beginning, maybe 5 person. A day will come 10 person, 15 person, 50 person, and then 100 person, you'll change yourself. And now here I want to share a very, very lovely sentence with you. Write down the sentence and stick it on the wall of your rooms. And this is $1 million sentence. It's a very expensive sentence. What does this sentence teach us, inform us? The sentence says that good habits are hard to form. Just imagine any good habit. You are a very, very fat guy, overweighted guy, 150 kg or 200 kg. Too much. Now, you want to develop the good habit of losing your weight. It's very difficult. Good habits are hard to form. Or for example, you have your exams after 2-3 days and you have to study for 10 hours, 15 hours, 18 hours a day. You have exams in 2-3 days time. You want to develop the good habit of studying for 10 or 15 hours a day. It's very difficult. Good habits are hard to form, but easy to live. If you lose your weight, if you were 200 kg and now you are 100 kg, your life is much more easier. Yes, today you are struggling to study 10 hours, 15 hours, 18 hours a day. But after 1 or 2 years, when you finish your high school, when you finish your college, when you finish your uni, you will have a very good life. You will have a job. You will have a good life. You might become a professor, a doctor, a teacher. So good habits are hard to form, very difficult. With those people who are fat, go and try. If you want to lose your weight, if you are overweight, it's very difficult. So, good habits are hard to form, but easy to live. On the other hand, bad habits are easy to form. For example, you want to develop the bad habit of overeating. Eat chocolates, eat biscuits, eat pizzas, eat all other things. You know, easily, keep eating and increase yourself. It's very easy. Or you have exams tomorrow, 2 days later, 2 weeks later. Develop the bad habit of sleeping for 10 hours or 12 hours. It's very easy. But bad habits are easy to form, but, tell with me, hard to live. Bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live. If you are overweighted, for example, you were 60 kg, you ate so much, now you are 120 kg. It's very difficult for you. You had exams, you didn't study, you didn't work, you developed the bad habit of sleeping. Now, you failed your exam, you've lost your 1 year. So remember this sentence. Good habits are hard to form, but easy to live. Bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live. We want to live a good life, not a difficult life. So change your bad habits. Don't be slave of your habits. You are a human being, you have your respect. Don't be slave of your habits. But do you know today, the devil worshippers, the enemies of humanity, who want to control the all humans, who want to make you their slaves, who want to make me their slave, who want to make the whole human beings their slaves, the devil worshippers are trying to create and develop the bad habits of animals and human beings. There are 3 very dangerous bad habits which devil worshippers are trying to develop in human beings, which are animalistic habits. We are humans. We should at least have humans' habits and avoid all the animalistic habits like the wildness, the savageness. This is the animalistic habit. But today the devil worshippers are trying to develop three very, very dangerous poisons in human beings. Three animalistic habits. One of them, Shaitan, devil and devil worshippers are trying to encourage sexual desires in the youth. Now this is really, you know, sometimes when you start talking from member about this topic, people say, what are you saying? But this is very important. This is an attack from devil worshippers. Devil worshippers are trying to misguide the youth, to misguide human beings and make the sex their aim, make the sex their purpose, make the sex their God. And do you know what happens at the end? When a human being doesn't think about any other thing, only thinks about sex, he goes and commits fornication. He goes and commits adultery. He goes and commits the great sin of rape. Why there are so many rapes in the world? Because these people who commit rape, they are not human beings. They look like human beings, but they have the devilish habits, the devilish character. They don't think about any other thing, just sex. And today, I really request the parents who are living in Western countries, encourage your children to, when inshallah they reach to the age, 18, 15, 16, 18, 19, encourage them to marry as soon as possible. Now what we see, the parents say, no, my son is still young. At least you can do nikah, that to save your son from bad deeds, from bad actions. Now if you don't save your son from bad actions, bad deeds, if he commits any sin, you, the father, the mother is responsible. I've talked to many youths. I 18 years old, 19 years old, 20 years old. Why aren't you married? He says, oh, my father doesn't allow me. Why? He thinks that I'm still young. Oh, really? 20 years old child, he's still a young boy? No, he's 20 years old. I was 18 years old when I got married. I didn't have any problem. People think that we'll have financial problems. Oh, my son is studying at the university. Oh, he cannot study. The year I went to the university, 18 years old, the same year I was married. I didn't have any problem, alhamdulillah. I asked you youths in different cities that if you get married while you are at your uni, will it disturb you? They said, no, rather it will help us to concentrate more on our studies. I'm a young boy. Shaitan is saying, look to this, look to that, look to that. But my father is saying, no. This means my father is saying, keep looking to all of the namarams, but I will not help you to marry. This is an attack from Shaitan. Shaitan is trying to enlarge this desire, although it's need of the human being. Allah has given this need, as for example, when you feel hungry, you go and eat food. This is a kind of hunger. The parents should finish this hunger, help their children to marry as soon as possible, and help them. But we see they don't help. But I will talk to the youths now. Although this is an attack from devil, devil is trying to make your aim or make your purpose, make your God sex, but you try to control on yourself. Do you know what did the Prophet said? Prophet said a very lovely hadith, a lovely narration. Once Prophet was in the mosque, Prophet said, oh people, if you avoid haram pleasures, lovely hadith. Sometimes you say, oh, this is haram, it doesn't have any pleasure. But on the first stages, Shaitan makes a haram thing, decorates a haram thing for you, and shows pleasure. It's very dangerous. Haram doesn't have any dangers. For example, this water is haram. This is not water, this is, for example, some haram liquid. Okay? At the first stage, maybe it's juice, for example. At the first stage when I say, oh, it's juice. So it has a pleasure for me. But this juice has poison. If I know, if I see the depth, you know, how dangerous is it? I know if I drink this juice, although it has pleasure, but it will kill me. It has poison. So, at the first stage, people don't see the depth of the sin. That's why they go and commit the sin. So, at the first stage, Shaitan decorates the sin for you and shows the pleasure. Oh, what a tasty juice is it? Drink it. What a tasty chocolate, what a delicious chocolate, eat it. What a beautiful woman, look at her. So at the first stage, shaitan decorates the sin for you and shows the pleasure for you. Although it doesn't have any pleasure if you just see the depth. It has poison which could kill you. But people at the first stage, they don't see, they are blind. They don't see the poison inside that sin. So the Prophet is saying, shaitan is decorating the sin for you. Shaitan is showing the pleasure of the sin to you. If you avoid the haram pleasures, Allah will give you the same pleasure with halal. Lovely. There's a chocolate in front of you. How would it taste? But you know, ingredients. Oh, it's haram. So you leave it. Only because of Allah. So Prophet is saying Allah will help you and introduce another halal chocolate to you as soon as possible. Allah will give you the same pleasure with halal. Now when the Prophet read this narration, this hadith, a thief was there. He heard this hadith. The program was finished. The thief went back to his home. In the middle of the night, he said, okay, let's go and steal something from somebody's house. He went to somebody's house to steal something. And there he saw the house is empty. There's nobody except one woman. Now shaitan said, you came to steal something. You came to achieve one pleasure. For example, to earn money of this woman. Because those who go and steal something, they are thinking we are earning money. A thief was arrested. So a police officer said, why don't you struggle and work? He said, this is what I struggle and work and steal these things. You know, they think this is our work. This is our pleasure. Shaitan said, oh, you came to steal. Now you have another opportunity to commit the great sin of rape. Allahu Akbar. Now he wanted to steal all the things from her house, rob her house, and rape the woman. Suddenly he remembered the hadith of Prophet. Prophet said, trust on Allah and leave the haram pleasures. Allah is guaranteeing you that Allah will give you the same pleasure through halal. He said, ya Allah, only because of you, I trust on you, I will not steal anything and I will never commit any sin. And he went back. The next day when he came to the mosque, the same woman to whose house this thief went, she said, ya Rasulullah, last night a thief came to my house. Now the thief was worried, oh my God, maybe she saw me. Now she will say, ya Rasulullah, this is that thief. So he picked up his slippers and his shoes to just run as soon as possible. But he said, okay, wait, let me see, what is the woman saying? The woman said, ya Rasulullah, last night a thief came to my house and I'm a lone woman. I don't have husband. I don't have a father or brother. I have a lot of money. I have a very big house. Ya Rasulullah, help me and find a good life partner for me. So Rasulullah said, who is ready to marry this woman? Everybody was quiet. Prophet went to the same thief. Prophet asked him, are you married? He said, no, Ya Rasulullah. Do you want to marry? If a young man was asked, do you want to marry, what will he say? No or yes? Of course, yes. So he said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So Rasulullah said, will you marry this woman? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So he left the haram pleasure just one night before. And Allah said, if you trust on me and leave haram pleasure, I will give you the same pleasure through halal. He left the thieving, stealing. He didn't commit the sin of fornication, adultery or rape. Allah gave him all the same thing. Allah gave him the whole house. And Allah gave him the same woman. And he married that woman. And he achieved the same pleasure through halal. So this is your need. So you should achieve this need through halal. Go and marry. And your parents are responsible. Really the parents are responsible who are stopping their children. Encourage your children. Don't be the barrier for your children and save them from the satanic desires. So shaitan and devil worshippers are trying to just encourage and enlarge this sexual desire and make sex God for the people. That's why they commit rape. The second thing, shaitan, devil and devil worshippers are trying to enlarge the overeating food. Today the food industry is earning a lot. People like to eat burgers, pizzas, and hot dogs, and all these kind of rubbish things, which are unhealthy, not healthy. They are very dangerous. But you know, people, although they feel, because food eating has become their God, become their aim, become their purpose. The guy is still getting fat and fat, overweight, but still he's eating. The doctor said, oh, you have high cholesterol, high triglyceride. Leave eating this kind of rubbish thing. He cannot control because he has become slave of food. This is what devil worshippers are trying. You know, some people live in this world only for eating. Lovely sentence. Some people live in this world for eating. And some people eat in this world to live. Some people live in this world only to eat, eat. This is their purpose. This is their aim. This is their God. Eat, eat, eat. And by eating, they kill themselves. But some people, they just eat to live in this world. Their aim is not eating. Their purpose is not eating. But shaitan, devil and devil worshippers are enlarging. Eat food, eat food, eat food. So they could earn money and you achieve the same, you develop the same bad habit of animals. You know, animals, cows, they eat the whole night. Animals keep eating. Human is not the one who keeps eating, eating, eating. Human being only eats in limits. Again, this is a need. You have to eat, but in limits. The third dangerous thing. These are three things that devil worshippers are trying to develop in human beings. To control on human beings. Because until you are a human being, nobody can control you. Do you like to become somebody's slave? Of course, no. You don't like to become somebody's servant. But when you become animal, when you develop the animalistic habits inside you, the bad habit of sex, the bad habit of overeating, and the third habit which I'm going to share with you, if you develop these bad habits, that sex becomes your God, aim and purpose, that food becomes your aim, God and purpose, and love of money becomes your God, aim and purpose, then you are animal. Really. Although these are the needs of your life, but in limits. If it's unlimited, as they are trying, the devil worshippers, then you are slave of your habits. You have developed the animalistic habits, and then أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ السَّبِيلَ. God is saying in Quran, there are some people who are like animals, no, even worse than the animals. Now the third habit of love of money. Today we see that. They are enlarging money for people. That, you know, people only think about money. Their aim, their purpose, their God has become money. It's necessary to earn money. Imam Ali Ahlul Bayt are saying that go and earn money, struggle and earn money. It doesn't mean that, you know, just think about money. Earn money and help the poor. Earn money and give khums. Earn money and give it to the needy people. But if you have love of money in your heart, if you have love of money in your heart, if money has become your aim, your purpose and your God, then you will only think about yourself. Selfishness. You'll earn money, and your only purpose becomes earning money. Although Ahlul Bayt are asking us to earn money, but Ahlul Bayt are saying again in limits. No problem, earn money, but help the orphans, help the needies, help the poor people. If you have enough money, help them. Now in Africa, there was a very, very dangerous report. In one of the countries of Africa, every day when we all sleep on our beds, filling our stomachs with food, every day, every night when you, me, we all sleep, just in one of the cities of the Africa, 13 children under 5 die because of not having food. So earn money, no problem. Nobody is stopping you. But don't just fill your stomachs. Think about others. Think about others who are dying of not having a single bread. But today, devil worshippers, what are they teaching? What are they trying to develop? They are trying to develop the love of money in our hearts, that we just only think about ourselves, and that's why many people don't give khums. How is Imam Zamana's right? What's to me? I have to just fill my stomach, fill my banks, buy many houses for myself. Yes, buy yourself. You know, buy a house for yourself. Achieve money for yourself. Earn money for yourself. But also help others. So now we should be careful. Don't become slave of sex. Don't become slave of food. Don't become slave of money. If you had the love of money in your heart, you could become shimmer. Because shimmer became shimmer because of love of money. He killed Imam Hussein because of love of money. And now we have to change our bad habits. We have to change our very, very bad character. And develop good habits. How can we change our bad habits? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is teaching us how can you leave your bad habits. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ajjil farajah. Imam is teaching us how you can change your bad habits. Oh my master, the first day, if you remember, I shared one lovely point for Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq. If you want to change yourself, create inner voice. If you want to change yourself, you are the doctor of yourself. You decide to change yourself. Today, another lovely point for Imam Ali. Imam is saying, if you want to change yourself, recognize yourself. Achieve the knowledge of yourself. If you want to change yourself, achieve knowledge of ma'rifatun nafs. Unless you don't achieve the knowledge of yourself, you are not able to change yourself. Now, what do you mean by knowledge of yourself? I know myself. My name is Muhammad Razajan Kazmi. You know, I have two eyes, I have one nose, I have two ears. Is this the knowledge of myself? No. The knowledge of yourself is that recognize how great are you. What is your status? What has Allah given to you? Allah is saying, Prophet is saying, Ahlul Bayt are saying, O human being, you are not an ordinary person. Allah has made you ashraful makhluqat. Allah has made you the best of the creatures. Know yourself. Who are you? Achieve the knowledge of yourself. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying, Afdalul ma'rifati ma'rifatal insani nafsahu. Imam is saying the best and the most beneficial knowledge is knowledge of yourself, and the worst person, the ignorant person, uneducated person is the one who does not know his self. This is very important. Know who are you? Not an ordinary person. Great person. When you recognize yourself, then you will respect yourself. Give you an example. You respect a great alim, great scholar. You've been listening to his speeches, but you never saw him on any TV, or you never saw his video, you never saw his picture. Now once, for example, he came to Canada and he's on the airport. You are also on the airport. He's beside you. He's an old guy. You are talking to him, but with an ordinary style. Hey old man, how are you? You're talking to him in a very, very old, ordinary style. While you love the same guy, you are his fan, you don't know him. But suddenly some people come and say, Hi, Maulana, such and such. You say, oh, he's that Maulana whom I used to listen to his speeches? Now, when you will talk with him again, how will you talk? Will you say, hey, old man? You will say, Maulana, sorry, I didn't recognize you, sorry. I didn't know you were that great scholar. When you will talk to him, after you know him, you will respect him. You will give the best respect to him. Same thing Imam Ali is saying. Imam is saying, know yourself. When you will know yourself, you will respect yourself. And when you will respect yourself, you will never commit any sin. You will never go to any bad habit. Imam is saying, وَأَكْرِمْ نَفْسَكَ عَنْ كُلِّ دَرِيَّةٍ. Respect yourself. And when you will respect yourself, you will avoid sins. Do you know how? You don't know who are you. But when you know, I'm such a great person, then you will not commit the sin. Like, you know, you see the president wears good clothing. Why? Because he knows that I'm the president. The president never wears shorts and comes on the road. Have you seen any president? If you've seen, tell me which country the president is. Presidents, when they come to deliver a speech, they wear a full suit, good clothing, very expensive clothing, because they respect themselves. He thinks, I'm president. He never comes to deliver a speech wearing a short and t-shirt. Hi, brothers. No. He comes with a very good style. Because he respects himself. While other people walk in shorts and very, very bad clothing. But he never. Why? Because he's a president. He respects himself. The same thing. You are ashraful makhlukat. Recognize yourself. You are the best of the creatures. Respect yourself and don't do what other people are doing. They don't respect themselves. You are the best of the creatures. You have to respect yourself. Do you know what is the honor of a mu'min? What is the izzat honor of a mu'min, of a Muslim? Prophet is saying, Imam is saying, the honor of a Muslim is equal to Ka'batullah, house of God. This is your respect. This is your honor. Respect yourself. Imam is saying, وَأَكْرِمْ نَفْسَكَ عَنْ كُلِّ دَنِيَةٍ. When you will recognize yourself, you will avoid sins. وَإِنْ سَاقَتْكَ إِلَى الرَّغَائِبِ فَإِنَّكَ لَنْ تَعْتَضُ بِمَا تَبْذُلُ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Imam is saying, even any sin, any bad habit fulfills your wishes, avoid it. For example, you like to eat chocolate. You want to eat that chocolate? Okay. Now, eating this chocolate is your wish, but it is haram. Imam is saying, respect yourself. Why should I eat this haram chocolate? Means I'm such a degraded person that I cannot control on a chocolate? I'm such a degraded person that when I see a woman, I cannot control on myself. The woman is here, I'm here. The woman is here, I'm here. Like the fan here and there. Respect yourself. Don't become degraded. Why should I eat this haram chocolate? Imam is saying even that thing which is haram fulfills your wishes. Avoid it by respecting yourself, by recognizing yourself. When you will recognize yourself, you will say, why should I eat this chocolate which is haram? Why should I degrade myself in front of this chocolate which after 8 hours goes to the toilet? All the food which you eat, halal or haram, goes to the toilet. So why should I disrespect myself, dishonor myself, degrade myself so much and go and eat this chocolate? Finish. This is the procedure. This is the process. Change your bad habits. Any bad habit? If you want to change yourself, successful life, achieve a good life, want to live a good life, so change yourself. How can I change myself? Just by avoiding sins. How can I avoid sins? By knowing yourself, by recognizing yourself. And when you will recognize yourself, you will respect yourself. When you will respect yourself, you will avoid the sins. And another lovely point. If you want to avoid sins, hub of Ahlul Bayt. Love of Ahlul Bayt will save you from sins. There are 2-3 kinds of love. One is fake love. You just lie, you don't love somebody. Hey, I love you, but you don't love that person. One is traditional love. You love because your parents love that person. You know, actually, you're not ready to sacrifice your life or everything for that love. But one is real love. Do you know what's the meaning of real love? When you really love somebody, you are ready to sacrifice your whole life for your beloved one. This is the real love. If you have real love of Ahlul Bayt in your heart, you can avoid sin. You can stay far from the sins. You know, sometimes some people say, Ya Ali, I love you. But they are not ready to do anything for Imam Ali. This is what again I told you, devil worshippers are attacking on 3 things. On love of Ahlul Bayt. They are trying to finish love of Ahlul Bayt from our hearts. How? They are trying that we just love Ahlul Bayt and we don't obey Ahlul Bayt. While love, real love means obedience. If you really love Ahlul Bayt, you have to obey them. If you really love Ahlul Bayt, you sacrifice everything for them. You listen to their orders. This is the real love. You know, some people, they say that we love you, Ya Ali, but they don't obey Imam Ali. A group of youth in the time of Imam Ali came to Imam Ali and they said, Ya Ali, we want your permission. Just give us the order. Just allow us. We will go and fight with your enemies, with those people who have snatched your rights. We want your permission. We will go and kill those enemies. Imam used to say, No. But they insisted a lot. Once Imam said, okay, if you really are insisting to fight with my enemies, to fight with those people who have snatched my rights, I have a condition. Maulana, any condition, just tell us, we are ready to sacrifice our life for you. Just order, what do you want from us? Imam said, go and shave your hair. Go and trim your hair. They said, that's not a big deal. Tomorrow we'll shave our hair and then we'll come. Then we'll go and fight with the enemies of Imam Ali. Now they did not have real love. It was just on their tongue. Now the leader of these youths, when he went back to his home, he was newly married. Now he said, oh my wife, bring the trimmer. I want to trim my hair. She said, oh, what a lovely hair you have. You know, sometimes some people listen what their wives say and don't listen what Allah is saying. Maybe sometimes they are afraid of their wives. You know, maybe their wives are beating them. I don't know. There was a lovely joke that a speaker asked the people, oh people, anybody among you who is being beaten up by his wife, just raise your hand. Now all the people raised their hand. So he was really surprised. All the people have been beaten up by their wives. Except one uncle, one old guy. He didn't raise his hand. The speaker was happy. There is only one man among you who didn't raise his hand, who was not beaten up by his wife. He was very happy. He said, okay, let me ask. So he asked that uncle, uncle, all the people have been beaten up by their wives. You didn't raise your hand. Is it because you were not beaten up by your wife? He said, actually, my wife has beaten me so much that she's broken my hands. And I cannot raise my hand. Salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Muhammad. Some people, you know, if you say, why don't you keep your beard? They say, oh, my wife is saying leave it. And some sisters, when you ask them, why don't you hijab? They say, my husband has to stop me. Husband has no right to stop the wife from doing hijab. Husband has no right to stop the wife from doing wajibat. You know, wife should listen to her husband, but she should not listen to her husband if the husband is asking her to do haram. The same way, the man, if you are listening to your wife, I'm not saying anything, but if she's saying something haram, you shouldn't listen to your wife. Anyhow, Imam said, trim your hair. The woman said, oh, what a beautiful style. Why do you want to shave your hair? You'll become bald and you will look very ugly. So what should I do? Imam is saying, shave your hair. So what we do, you know, Arabs, they have some clothes they put on their head. What do we say to those clothes? I don't know what's their name. You know, Arabs, they put some white clothes on their hair. Now his wife said, just cut a few hairs from the front, few from the back, and then put that cloth on your head. Imam Ali will not understand, are there hairs under this cloth or not? Now he obeyed his wife, maybe afraid of what thing, I don't know. So what he did, he didn't shave his hair, he didn't trim his hair, just cut a few hairs from the front, few from the back, and went in front of Imam Ali and said, Ya Ali, we are ready to fight your enemies. Ya Ali, we are ready to sacrifice our life for you. Ya Ali, we are ready for your permission. Imam came forward and Imam picked up his cloth, which he put on his head. Imam said, when you are not ready to sacrifice your hair for me, so how can you sacrifice your life for me? Real love is what saves you from all kinds of sins. But real love, if you have real love, you will keep beard for Imam. Imam is saying keep beard. If you are keeping beard because of Imam, you have real love. Real love, Bibi Zainab is saying you have to do hijab. If you are doing hijab, that is real love. So the second thing which will save you, it is love of Ahlul Bayt. Real love of Ahlul Bayt will save you from bad deeds, from bad action, from bad habits. Inshallah. I'm sure that we all have real love of Ahlul Bayt. But if God forbids anybody did not have real love of Ahlul Bayt till today, please try to develop the good habit of love of Ahlul Bayt. Because as I told you 2 days back, that whatever we have in our lives is because of Ahlul Bayt. Anything God has given to us is because of Ahlul Bayt. So when somebody gives you one kidney, you definitely love him. Allah gave you two kidneys because of Ahlul Bayt, two eyes because of Ahlul Bayt. So love Ahlul Bayt and really love Ahlul Bayt. Real love will save you from bad habits, inshallah. As real love saved Hur, he had real love. He really loved Imam Hussein. He left everything. Inshallah, if we have real love of Imam Hussein, of Ahlul Bayt, we'll stay far from the sins, from all bad deeds, inshallah. Now let's go to the musibah and ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, help us to save ourselves from bad habits. Help us that we could, inshallah, develop the good habit of real love of Ahlul Bayt in our hearts, which stops us from sins. Love means obedience. Love means obedience. Obey Ahlul Bayt and make them happy. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد everybody اللهم صل على يا الله يا الله
Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us our sins. Ya Allah, Ya Mawla. Our God, our Creator, is most merciful, most forgiver, most merciful. We have a narration. Even if the greatest sinner in the world, who has disobeyed Allah so much that you cannot even imagine, even the greatest sinner of the universe says, Ya Ghaffar, Imam is saying in hadith, when for the first time he says, Ya Ghaffar, Allah says to his angels, to Malaika, don't answer him. He has disobeyed me so much. But Imam is saying, don't be disappointed. For the second time, say, Ya Ghaffar. Because he was the greatest sinner of the world, Imam is saying, Allah again will say to the angels, don't answer him. Imam is saying, don't be disappointed. For the third time, the biggest sinner of the world, when he says, Ya Ghaffar, do you know what does Allah say to his angels? Oh my angels, if I don't answer him, who will answer him? If I don't forgive him, who will forgive him? What a merciful God we have. Just three times you say, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghaffar, and Allah will forgive you. Let's say, Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Say loudly, Ya Ghaffar, oh, Ya Ghaffar, oh, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghaffar, oh, Ya Ghaffar, oh, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghaffar, Ya Ghaffar. Ya Ghaffar means, oh forgiver, forgive me my sin. Ya Allah, oh my forgiver, forgive my sin in the name of Lady Zainab. Bibi Zainab, the daughter of Bibi Zahra, the granddaughter of Rasulullah. But she was oppressed so much that she was taken to prison. It's been narrated, once Bibi Zainab was brought to Kufa, to the home of a lady named Shireen. Do you know who was this lady? Shireen was the student of Bibi Zainab. She studied Quran
at the home of Bibi Zainab in Medina. When she grew up, she got married in Kufa. But every year she used to come to Medina to visit Imam Hussein and Bibi Zainab. Bibi Zainab. Do you know what she used to say? Whenever she used to come to Medina, she used to say, "Oh my master Hussein, come to my house. I'm inviting you, Mawla, become my guest." Imam used to answer, "Oh Shireen, inshallah we will come. But Shireen, you will not recognize us." Shireen, you will not recognize us. Shireen used to cry and say, "Oh my master, I will take out my eyes and throw them. The eyes which could not recognize my master Hussein." Imam used to say, "It's not your fault, it will not be your fault." Now that time has arrived. Bibi Zainab has come to the house of her student Shireen. But Shireen doesn't know that this is Lady Zainab. This is my teacher, this is my master, Bibi Zainab. And when all the ladies, all the Bibis came to the house of Shireen, one of the ladies stood up and said, "Oh Shireen, we are really oppressed. The cruel and tyrant oppressors killed our brothers, fathers, and all companions of our father. In one day they have killed 72 people from our side. But whenever we wanted to shed tear, whenever we wanted to cry, nobody let us cry. Instead they slapped us. They used to hit us. Shireen, this is your house. Will you let us shed tears for our shuhada? Will you let us shed tears for our martyred ones?" Shireen said, "Just imagine it's your house, and shed tears, do matter, and cry as much as you could." Now one of the ladies stood up and said, "Oh father of Ali al-Akbar, oh father of Ali al-Asghar." When Shireen heard this name, she ran towards that lady and said, "Don't take this name. These are the names of sons of my master Hussein, Hussein." The lady said, "It's your house. If you stop us, okay, we will not cry on our martyred one. We will not cry on our shuhada. We will not do matter." Shireen said, "I don't want to hurt you. Just don't take these names. If your shaheed, if your martyred one had any daughters, take the names of his daughters and shed tears." One of the ladies stood up and cried and said, "Oh father of Sughra, oh father of Sakina." Shireen again ran to that lady, said, "Stop, don't take these names. These are the names of daughters of my master Hussein." Again ladies stopped. They said, "It's up to you, it's your heart." Shireen said, "I don't want to hurt you. If you're martyred, if you're shaheed, had any brother, cry and do matam by the name of his brother. One of the ladies stood up and said, oh brother of Abbas. Again she ran and said, now you have no chance. You cannot do matam, you cannot shed tears. The beseder is up to you. Shirin again said, there's only one situation, there's only one condition. If you want to do matam, if you want to cry and shed tears, if your shaheed had any sister, take the name of his sisters and shed tears. One of the ladies stood up and said, oh brother of Umme Kulsum, oh brother of Zana, now Shirin did not understand anything. She ran towards Bibi Zainab. She fell on her feet and said, oh lady, tell me, who are you? What is your relation with my master Hussein? Bibi Zainab said, Shirin, I am your teacher, Zainab. You did not recognize me. Shirin started crying and shedding tears. Oh, Shirin is saying, Bibi Zainab, where is my master Hussein? Bibi Zainab took Shirin towards the spear, where the heads were on the spear. Shirin pointed towards one head and said, As-salamu ala Hussein. This is the head of Imam Hussein. Suddenly Shirin saw a very little head. It seemed to be a 6-month child's head. Shirin said, Bibi Zainab, whose head is this? Bibi Rubab said, Aliyum al-Asghar, my 6-month child was my child. Ya Allah, in the name of Lady Zainab, in the name of Imam Hussein, in the name of Hazrat Ali al-Asghar, help us that we could change our bad habits. Ya Allah, hesitant the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi.